Hi, this is Michael Pulser from the Personal Upgrade Podcast, and you're listening to Not Religious.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
This is your away team.
This is your away team. We're we're getting ready to board Hail Bop and take you on a journey to our new bodies.
We got our decade Nikes on.
I wanted some so bad. I don't think they even make them anymore after Heaven's Gate.
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think they do. No. Welcome back to the Not Religious Podcast.
Yeah.
I'm Blake.
I'm Brian.
And we're in part, was this five? Yes.
Yeah,
part five of our cult series. This week, we're going to tell you all about Heaven's Gate, the infamous Heaven's Gate, the awful, horrible outcome that was Heaven's Gate and their away team.
I mean, it's horrible and awful the way we see it, but the way they see it.
Oh, man. Upgrade.
Upgrade.
Upgrade. But before we get to that,
yes,
I have some sad news for Marvel fans, for Guardians of the Galaxy fans. Did you see this?
You put it in the link.
I did, didn't I? Yeah, notes. You can see that now. Okay, the model raccoon for Rocket Raccoon of the Guardians of the Galaxy movies has passed away, Brian.
Oh, no.
Oreo, the raccoon.
The raccoon.
Yeah. He passed away, sadly. So, RIP to the family.
Can't they just go get another raccoon?
No, you can't.
They all look alike.
That Rocket Raccoon was designed after Oreo the Raccoon and Oreo the Raccoon only.
Yeah.
So, there is no...
I just have a feeling that they all look alike, so they you don't. Can just...
That's racist. That's horrible.
I don't know.
Well, is it? I'm sad. I mean, you can be that way if you want.
I am that way.
You didn't really care for the Guardians, though, did you?
No, yeah. I like Guardians.
Just
yeah.
wasn't as realistic, you said, as some of the other ones.
Yeah, no, I like the Guardians. I gave Alec a lot of crap when the first one came out and he wanted to go see it. I was like, it's not real. It couldn't happen. Whereas Iron Man or the Hulk or, Black Widow.
That's happening.
That can actually
It's probably
happen.
Already happened. Right. And we just hadn't discovered it yet.
Right.
Or they won't tell us about it.
But I was just giving Alec a hard time. But no, I really liked the Guardians.
Well, here I was thinking this whole time.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't think you cared for him too much.
No. I don't like anything DC, but just about everything Marvel I can get behind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can you get behind Heaven's Gate?
Applewood
and his old crazy eyes.
Yeah. Homeboy, just do me a favor right now. Pause the podcast.
Pausing.
And go... look up what this dude looks like.
He's insane looking.
He looks like a cult leader.
Yeah.
Like all cult leaders need to model themselves after him.
Yep.
He's insane looking.
His eyes are really scary. Really, really scary and terrifying.
Yeah.
They look past. He does look into your soul.
Yeah,
he looks straight into your soul and knows how to manipulate you. Mm-hmm. But yes, we are talking about Heaven's Gate. This week, the ones, if you remember seeing pictures of the Nikes and the purple sheets and the mass suicide, this is what it is. So I'm going to play a quick little clip here from the initiation tape, and you can find these videos on YouTube.
They're on YouTube, yeah.
Yep. There's still full access to their website, to their videos on YouTube, their initiation tapes, their going away tapes, all these things. So this is Applewood speaking about his the initiation tape.
Marshall Applewood.
Marshall Applewood.
Yeah.
Oh, he's got a buffer.
Or in old language, a couple thousand years ago, disciples. Those who are trying to prepare themselves for entry into the evolutionary level above human, synonymous with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. We're going to talk to you about the most urgent thing that is on our mind, and what we suspect is the most urgent thing on the minds of those who will connect with us. We'll title this tape, Planet Earth.
Butt stuff.
About to be recycled.
Okay.
But your only chance to evacuate.
That's what you're going with for the title?
Is to leave with us.
That's a long title, dude.
Planet Earth. About to be recycled.
Is it still
going? I think it's still the title.
Your only chance to survive or evacuate is to leave with us.
Yeah, he didn't just pull that out of his butt or anything.
No, not at all. I'm going to name this video, The Sheets on My Bed Are Purple. The purple sheets are on my bed. My bed is covered in purple sheets.
Oh, man. Crazy looking, though. Like, his eyes, man.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Heaven's Gate was an American UFO religious cult based in San Diego, California, founded in 1974 and led by Marshall Applewood. Applewhite, I've been saying Applewood this whole time. And Bonnie Nettles. On March 26, 1997, police discovered the bodies of 39 members of the group who had participated in a mass suicide in order to reach what they believed was an extraterrestrial spacecraft following comet Hale-Bopp.
Hale-Bopp.
Yep.
Boop, boop, boop. Doo-wop.
Bop. Ski-doo. The son of a Presbyterian minister and former soldier, Marshall Applewhite, began his foray into biblical prophecy in the early 1970s.
Son of a preacher man.
He was a son of a preacher man. After being fired from the University of St. Thomas in Houston, Texas, over an alleged relationship with one of his male students, he met Bonnie Nettles, a 44-year-old married nurse with an interest in theosophy and biblical prophecy, in March of 1972.
Yeah.
So this was still a time when being gay was not okay.
Yeah, you know, definitely not okay.
So he had these homosexual tendencies,
mm-hmm.
and got fired from his job.
Yeah.
For having a relationship with a student.
Yeah.
Male student. According to Applewhite's writings, the two met in a psychiatric hospital where she worked during his stay there and quickly became close friends.
All right, let's stop there.
Let's pause.
Let's pause. I think you have it labeled as point number 5.
That's just how it copied over. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I like it. According to Applewhite's writings, the two met in the psychiatric hospital
mm-hmm.
where she worked and he was there.
Yes.
He stayed there. He was admitted there mm-hmm. and quickly became close friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure somewhere in the new nurse briefing they have at the psychiatric hospital, it says stay away from friendships with creepy dudes with eyes that can stare into your soul.
Yes.
But she gravitated towards
mm-hmm.
them.
Kind of like Joker and Harley Quinn. Does it not sound like the Joker and Harley Quinn? But you don't like DC. Do you know the backstory of that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't.
You don't. All right. So the Joker is in Arkham Asylum.
I wanted to say I did just so I wouldn't have to listen
to
it.
I'm going to tell. I'll be glad to tell you. Okay. So the Joker is in Arkham Asylum. Okay. And there is a psychiatrist who comes to, you know, have her sessions with the Joker, kind of study him a little bit. By the name of Harlene Quinzel. She ends up falling in love with the Joker in this case. So, a little bit different. Nettles actually didn't fall in love with Applewhite. But began a relationship, nonetheless.
You know, the more we read and the more you look into it, I have a feeling she loved him.
He just didn't.
Right.
He just didn't like chicks.
Mm-mm. But I feel like she had an infatuation with him.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
All right. Carry on.
Applewhite later recalled that he felt like he had known Nettles for a very long time and concluded that they had met in the past life. She told him that her meeting, their meeting, had been foretold by her, foretold to her by extraterrestrials, persuading him that he had a divine assignment.
She told him their meeting had been foretold to her by extraterrestrials.
He said that she said, and she said that he said, aliens told her they were supposed to meet, and he's got a purpose.
So this must have been before, like, the tight screening of psychiatric hospitals to ensure you're not bat crap crazy.
It's probably just, what experience do you have working with mentally unstable patients?
Do you
patients?
Know how to change a bedpan?
Yeah.
Can you administer medication?
Sure. Or I read a book. One time.
Yeah. So old girl is in to aliens, which I have nothing wrong with. I don't have a problem with that. Yeah, I'm into aliens are cool. too.
Tom DeLonge's into aliens,
but
too.
I don't work at a psychiatric hospital. You know, those two things cannot be, that they should not go together.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Carry on.
Applewhite read science fiction novels. So here we go. We're going back to science fiction. Kind of like L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah.
Big science fiction enthusiast.
Well, and Homeboy was born in the 30s. Mm-hmm. So by the time the 40s and the 50s rolled around, which is the big UFO.
Mm-hmm. The craze.
Yeah. So that's when all those sci-fi movies came out. The crazy Martian movies, War of the Worlds, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff.
Do you remember that was War of the Worlds, wasn't it? The radio broadcast?
Yeah.
That was crazy. Yeah. I love going back and listening to that. Yeah. It's so funny. But in addition to the science fiction novels, he also studied the King James version of the Bible thoroughly.
I mean, I do.
Okay.
I watch Ancient Aliens and I read my Bible.
Is it the King James version though?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes. I've read the King James version cover to cover.
Okay.
So that counts for something.
Sure.
So me and Applewhite,
we could
hang out.
No. I don't know if you want to admit to that.
Yeah, man.
Me and him, we got it.
We got
this whole thing figured out.
We do.
By June of 1974, Applewhite and Nettles' beliefs had solidified into a basic outline. Okay. They concluded that they had been chosen to fulfill biblical prophecies, and they had been given higher level minds than other people. They're just superior to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. They wrote a pamphlet that described Jesus' reincarnation as a Texan, so not someone from Texas.
No, just a Texan.
Giant belt buckle.
Right. He doesn't. He doesn't have to be from Texas. Just a guy that
looks. That's how I took that.
Yeah. Just a
Jesus
guy.
Was a Texan.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Not from Texas. Just he was a Texan.
In their minds, a Texan is a thinly veiled reference to Applewhite. Okay.
Yeah.
Furthermore, they concluded that they were the two witnesses described in the Book of Revelation.
Makes sense.
Now, who was it originally in Revelation that the two witnesses were? Or not witnesses. The images that, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, John sees two witnesses.
Right. So that's, they're saying that they are the witnesses.
Right. Okay. Right.
And occasionally visited churches and other spiritual groups to speak of their identities, often referring to themselves as the two or the UFO two. They believed that they would be killed and then restored to a life and then transported onto a spaceship. This event, which they referred to as the demonstration, was to prove their claims. To their dismay, these ideas were poorly received by existing religious communities. There was a little bit of hope that the religious communities back in the 70s was like, you guys
are
a little far too loopy to be in here.
Just a little bit.
Just a hair.
Yeah. So back to the two witnesses.
Yeah.
Some people think that they're Enoch and Elijah.
Okay. So it never truly confirms who they
don't know who
they just
are.
Okay. It seems like in one of the Left Behind movies.
Yes.
I remember watching
one of the Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron ones. It seems like they actually had people picked out that they chose did. Who it was. Yeah. And I think maybe one of them was Moses.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep. I read that whole series.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Wow. Yep. When did you read that?
When they came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're right there on it.
Yeah, I want to say it would have been late 90s, early 2000s.
Aren't they revamping that? Making a show or a movie or something?
Nick Cage.
That's right.
Played in Left Behind. Did a stunning job, by the way.
Did he? You know, he's really a great actor.
He will act in anything.
Yes. He was Ghost Rider.
Right. Give him a script, he will play it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
The man is amazing. Yeah. Quit giving him crap.
He's no Kirk Cameron.
And while we're at it, quit giving Nickelback crap too. Okay, just because the internet told you that you're supposed to hate Nickelback doesn't mean that you hate Nickelback necessarily.
I just want to make a bunch of bros happy.
And Guy Fieri, leave him alone.
Leave him alone.
Applewhite and Nettles used a variety of aliases over the years, notably Bo and Peep.
I like that one.
I like that one the best. And then Doe and T.
I don't get Doe and T.
I don't either. I like Bo and Peep better.
Oh, Do, Re, Mi, Fa, So, La. Is that?
Oh. So I wonder if there was more members at one time, and maybe they... La, Ti, Do.
Yeah. I wonder why they...
Da.
I wonder why they chose those two, Do and T.
Maybe there's a connection to Van Morrison.
There might be. I like Bo and Peep.
I like Bo and Peep too. Yeah. That's much better.
From here on. Here on forward.
It rolls off the tongue a lot better.
Yeah.
Though I don't know which one was which.
Ooh. Yeah.
Have to look that up. The group also had a variety of names. Prior to the adoption of the names Heaven's Gate, it was known as Human Individual Metamorphosis.
I like that one.
That one's cool.
Right.
Him.
Acronym HIM.
HIM, yep. The group reinvented and renamed itself several times and had a variety of recruitment methods. Applewhite believed he was directly related to Jesus, meaning he was an evolutionary kingdom level above human.
You know, I tried to find more about that.
Yeah.
To see if he bought into the whole bloodline of Jesus. Mm. You know, if he was into that, him and Mary Magdalene had a kid type deal. I couldn't find anything about that. I found one thing in his writings or whatever where he talked about being related to Jesus, but he doesn't say how.
Yeah.
Like maybe, you know, one of Mary and Joseph's, you know, kids, you know, since Jesus had half brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how. I don't know.
I wonder why there's not more on that somewhere.
Yeah.
You feel like he...
I feel like that's a big deal.
He might have explained that to someone a little bit better.
Right. That's not...
But there's nothing on it.
You would think he wouldn't just flippantly say that. He would he would have something about it. Yeah.
At least Koresh told you something.
Right.
You know? Anyway. Applewhite believed himself to be Jesus' successor and the, quote, present representative of Christ on earth.
Yeah, I mean, someone's got to question that at some period of time. You know, you go to the commune or whatever in California, and, you know, Bo and Peep are up there talking this, that, and the other. They're asking you for money. At some point in time, homeboy's going to say, I'm related to Jesus. There's got to be someone in that group that raises their hand and says, how exactly?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? There has to be.
Yeah. But no.
No.
These people were, even watching the videos on YouTube, and you see how they just talk and how they talk about what they're doing, is they're honored to be a part of this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
What kind of place in your life do you have to be in to listen to something like that and believe it?
I could give you a couple names of people who I think would be very susceptible to something like this that we both know. I could give you probably five names of people who would be on board with something like this.
That's scary.
It is, but at the same time, if I gave you those names, you would say, huh, yeah, I could see that.
I could see that.
Because there's a lot of factors that go into it. They're a little bit off, you know, so they're a little bit odd to begin with. There's a longing to belong to something. There's a longing somewhere, you know, that needs to be fulfilled somehow, and they're just not getting it fulfilled anywhere. Enter, you know, Nike salesman, you know, purple sheet Nike salesman with a promise that, you know, there's more to this life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think your average person, and that's why these things aren't so big.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you don't have thousands of people
lining
up, because I think it definitely caters to those.
You got to attack the weak, you know?
Yeah, and I hate calling them weak.
But honestly, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have no clue of what's going on. And, yeah, they're just a little bit, I don't want to say slower, but they just, I don't know, man. For some reason, they don't get it.
And there's a lot of people in cult-type situations where they just want to be told what to do, to think.
If we
what
look
to
back
wear.
To the Branch Davidians, Homeboy's number two was a professor of theology.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was an educated guy. He just wanted someone to tell him what to do.
Yeah. And Bhagwan and the Rajneeshis.
That's right.
His lawyer. And everyone.
Super intelligent.
Yeah, very, very intelligent.
Yeah.
Just wanted some type of direction.
Right.
Tell me how I should think, how I should dress,
right,
what to say. You are the leader. The duo taught during the religious movement's early beginnings that Applewhite's bodily vehicle, that's their big thing. Your body is your vehicle. This is to get you
I to
your ultimate destination.
I can get down with that.
Yeah. I'm good with that too.
I'm good with that.
But Applewhite's bodily vehicle was inhabited by the same alien spirit which belonged to Jesus. So maybe that's that connection.
Whoa,
there
we are.
Yeah, there's your connection right there.
Yeah.
I forgot this was in the notes.
Okay.
So his alien spirit.
So Jesus was an alien.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I've heard crazier things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not above listening to someone's argument on God being an alien, thus Jesus being some sort of extraterrestrial. Well, I mean, God is an extraterrestrial in the sense of the word.
You break it down.
Of the definition.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not above listening to someone's theory on that.
Yeah.
I don't know where I stand on it, but I'm not above listening, and I'm not above saying, oh, that's an interesting thought.
And that's what makes you different, Brian.
That does.
Is you're giving the people a chance to explain themselves.
Yeah, I'm okay with other people having other thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Even
if you don't agree.
Even if I don't endorse it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm cool with other people having other thoughts. And I've heard some very, very, very tight arguments concerning God as an alien. So
interesting.
And so this is now the third cult we've done
that involves their
that God is or that there's an alien, a godly alien presence.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So, Applewhite believed he was indirect or connected to Jesus's alien spirit. But Nettles was more presented as God the Father.
Yeah.
Strange.
Okay.
Yeah.
But is that the same? Is it saying that the spirit, God's alien spirit,
was connected to Nettles?
So that.
Yeah.
Okay. Why would you make yourself Jesus and not God? I wonder if you're the leader.
I guess maybe he saw Nettles as superior to him.
Oh, okay.
Maybe, you know.
And he was just like a messenger?
Yeah. And he was, you know, meant to carry on the legacy.
Huh, okay.
Okay. So let's talk about their recruitment methods.
Alrighty.
A little bit. They used numerous methods of recruitment as they toured the United States in destitution, proclaiming the gospel of higher level metamorphosis, the deceit of humans by false god spirits, envelopment with sunlight for meditative healing, and the divinity of the UFO too. That's a mouthful.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
So they toured the United States.
Yep.
Okay.
They hopped in the 15-passenger van.
Now, what's funny...
Slap some stickers on it.
What's funny, and I don't know if you remember this. I know I remember it. So at the church I worked at, it was very early on. So it might have been the first year I worked there or directly after, you know, mm-hmm. within the first 2 years. I remember on a... Sunday morning, this van being parked out front with a big white trailer. And I mean, this van had all kinds of graffiti. That's the only thing I can call it, about God and Jesus and, you know, Revelation had scripture all over it. And I just remember, and it was a 1980s GMC van, you know, the kind that just looks shady, and then a dirty white trailer, you know, enclosed trailer on the back of it. And I just remember thinking, huh, well, that's different, you know.
Huh.
Yeah. And then thinking a little bit more, I'd hate to meet the crazy SOB who's driving that thing. You know, I'd hate to be. But so Sunday morning... whatever happens, and I'm not in the service, so I don't meet these people or anything like that. But Sunday night rolls around, and that van pulls back up. And I remember talking to one of my coworkers, and I was like, what's going on with that? And and he said, they're prophecy preachers.
Oh, man.
And I was like, what the? I'm new to this. You know, here I am, you know, majority of my Christianity, I claim Catholic, and then I become a Pentecostal preacher. I'm brand new to this scene, evangelical scene. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he was like, they preach on Revelation, and they travel around, and they try to convince people at churches that it's the end times, and they sell, you know, pamphlets or whatever. Awesome. And they try to get you to join their group. And I was like, what do you mean join their group? He's like, they have like emails or send letters out, a pamphlet every month. And he's like, they're basically just looking for money.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. But I met him. Okay. And strange.
Did he prophesy over
you? Definitely, man. He started talking about Rev. I just went up to shake the guy's hand. Hey, thanks for coming. And he straight into Revelation.
So it's just one guy.
A guy, his woman, I don't know if they were married, and two kids. Hmm. And just looked kind of disheveled, destitute. Like it says that they were.
Yeah.
They traveled in destitution. So,
yes.
So definitely reminds me of that. And I just remember the guy telling me that Jesus, he's within like days is coming back.
Yeah.
And of course that was 6 years ago.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
good luck. I don't know what to...
I've got my go bag.
Yeah.
Ready.
Yeah. Yucatan is down the street. It's a good Mexican restaurant. Try it out. I don't know.
See ya in the afterlife there. Yeah.
Don't speed in Turbyville. What do I tell this guy? You know?
You want to go 5 below when you hit Turbyville, okay?
Yeah. Safe travels. I don't know.
But their recruitment methods, it was a good way for people to merge their diverse religious backgrounds and coalesce. Yes, around a shared, generalized faith, which followers of a new religious sect for Applewhite's crew found very appetizing alternative. Found a very appetizing alternative to traditional dogmas in Judaism, Catholicism, and evangelical Christianity. Brian, this was called Sheilaism.
Shut up. Oh, Sheila. Yeah. So it was called Sheilaism?
Sheilaism.
Okay.
I don't know
if there's a correlation
where the Sheila came from.
But this is happening around the same time as the Bhagwan stuff.
Yeah. And so maybe something connected with that.
Like in the late 70s, early 80s, people are looking for something. Same with the Branch Davidians. That's when they hit their biggest growth spurt. So
maybe it's just people were just unstable in the 70s.
Well, I mean, they were coming out of Vietnam, which, you know, devastated.
Yeah.
Devastated and polarized a good portion of the country. If you weren't affected by Vietnam, you had the Civil Rights Movement.
Yeah.
If you weren't affected by the Civil Rights Movement, you had Women's Liberation Movement. If you weren't affected by that, dude, we're in the Cold War with Russia.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. And, I mean, technology is starting to creep on scene. You know, in this...
Yeah, that's a...
Computers.
That's a wake-up call.
Right. I mean, this is a very volatile mix. If you were going to be a cult leader, this definitely
is the time,
to do it. Yeah.
As recruitment numbers grew in its pre-internet days, the clan of UFO followers all seemed to have in common a need for communal belonging and an alternative path to higher existence without the constraints of institutionalized faith.
Yeah, not religious.
Not religious.
Yeah. We're picking up where they left off.
Okay. So they've already gone on with the Hail Bop.
Yeah.
And we're just going to keep this going.
We're going to keep this going.
And we've got shirts coming out, patches.
Yeah. There's an asteroid. Have you heard about this?
Is it really?
Yeah, so there's this huge asteroid. It's a cigar shape.
We're going to be responsible for that.
But it's come from another galaxy.
Okay.
This is the first time this has ever happened.
Well, it's a good thing we got. Maybe that's where Oreo the raccoon went.
Maybe.
He's up there with Star-Lord and Drax, and they're going to take care of that for us.
Maybe.
He graduated from his little raccoon vehicle.
There you go. Anyway, I mean, it's the first time an interstellar object has ever occurred.
I think that's amazing.
That we have evidence.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Science is awesome.
Science is awesome.
All right, so we're gonna move into the death of nettles.
Peep.
I'm guessing
going
she's
with Peep.
I'm guessing she was Peep. Maybe he was both.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So it was not until Nettles died of liver cancer in 1985. How unfortunate. And Applewhite's subsequent revision of the group's doctrines that the crew gained in eventual reputation as a cyberculture form of religious thought reform.
Thanks, Al Gore.
Yeah. You went and you invented the internet. Look at us now.
Look at us now.
Cults popping up left and right.
So this is a precursor to ISIS, basically.
Basically. By the mid-1990s, the group had become reclusive, identifying themselves using the business name Higher Service. And using their website to proselytize and proselytize.
Higher Source.
Yep, the Higher Source and higher recruit source. Followers. So they're not hitting the family van, loading up, going to churches and different groups of people trying to recruit them. It's just like, look, we're on the internet.
Boom.
Come check us out.
Yeah, we're going to hold up in California.
Yeah, we're over here. If you want to be a part of it, there's an open door. All right, so rumors began spreading throughout the group in the following years that the upcoming comet Hail Bop housed the secret to their ultimate salvation and ascendance into the kingdom of heaven.
Do you remember Hail Bop?
No. I think I was too young when all that was going on.
I was 15 or 16, so I remember it. I don't remember anyone saying it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
But I remember.
Oh, but they were saying it.
Yeah, they were. But I remember, like, you could see it type
well, did
deal.
You know anything about Heaven's Gate until, or was it after they died?
Tom Brokaw.
Okay.
After they died, he broke that. He broke that story wide open. That's the first time I've ever heard about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people do, apparently. In 1996, members of Doe's clan took. Okay, so Doe was Nettles or Applewhite.
Okay.
So I still don't know which one was Bo and Pete, but Applewhite's clan took their internet recruitment and technical savviness to new levels in a large home they called the Monastery.
Okay.
A 9,000 square foot residence in Rancho Santa Fe near San Diego in California.
I mean, that's money, man.
Where'd that money come from?
These people.
Just giving it?
Yeah.
They didn't have like a side hustle where they're getting some cash flow?
I don't think so.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
I think if you become a member, you pretty much
got some membership fees.
Yeah.
Okay. The home would eventually be a gathering place for the group's final siren call and the closure to Heaven's Gate.
It's kind
of
like
Turn of Hail Bop signified.
Your mom's house.
Yeah. Once it all gathering goes down place. Here, once it hits the fan, that's the...
For the final siren call.
That's the zombie apocalypse hideout.
Mama Mosley's.
Yep. All right. So now we're gonna move on into the big news stories that started popping up. This is Tom Brokaw. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Really good at that. This is the mass suicide. So on March 19th, from March 19th to the 20th in 1997, Marshall Applewhite taped himself speaking of mass suicide and asserted it was the only way to evacuate this earth. That was the clip.
That was the clip we saw. Okay.
Let's see here. After claiming that a spacecraft was trailing Hale Bopp, Applewhite persuaded 38 members to commit suicide so that their souls could board the supposed craft. Applewhite believed that after their deaths, a UFO would take their souls to another level of existence above human, which he described as being both physical and spiritual. And in October 1996, the group purchased alien abduction insurance.
Wait a minute. So, have you asked Allie about this? The State Farm cover.
I need to bring it up.
I need to get some of that.
Yeah, I need to bring it up and be like, look, babe, I think I'm going to have to purchase some alien abduction insurance because you just don't know. Do you think Tom DeLonge has alien abduction insurance?
If it's available, yes.
He's got to.
I think it's more beneficial than life insurance. Whole scam. I mean,
probably is. But the alien abduction insurance would cover up to 50 members and would pay out $1 million per person.
What the crap,
and
man?
And here's what it covered. The policy covered abduction, impregnation, and death by aliens.
How do you prove that? I mean, maybe the insurance agent is like, yeah, I'll cover you.
Who was the insurance company?
I'll cover you. I mean, how do you prove that? Dude.
Alien, I get it, man. Aliens, you got to watch out. You got to be ready.
You know what? Just to be safe, we ought to include the impregnation clause in here.
And then what if they kill you?
Right.
You're not going to
put that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Your monthly payment, 50 members, $7,000 a month, sir.
Man, rough. All right. So the group rented a 90. Hold on. Before we get there. Before we move on, who was the supervisor of the insurance
who signed off on that
whenever they said someone sat back, laughed in their chair repeatedly, went to their supervisor and said,
you'll never believe what I just got this guy to do.
And then they all laugh about it and then everyone died.
Right. But you can't. How do you prove that? How do you prove it was aliens?
Holy crap.
It wasn't aliens. It was suicide, so nothing got paid off.
Yeah. I need to know which insurance company that was.
I want to meet him. Yeah. I want to meet the insurance. I want to hear the story.
Yeah. and how hard it was to keep it together.
Yeah. Like in the office, you know, they're sitting around the water cooler or whatever.
and this guy comes in.
Well, you know, one of his coworkers was, you know, you'll never guess. I insured this dude's calves the other day for $1.7 million. And that dude looks at him and says, "Hold my beer."
I've got a story for you, my friend. Oh man. The group rented a 9,200 square foot mansion located near Paseo Victoria,
California,
somewhere in California, in a gated community of upscale homes in the San Diego area, in Rancho Santa Fe, as we mentioned before, paying $7,000 a month in cash.
That's crazy.
Yep. And then we get to the going away tapes that they make. Now, mind you, I don't think these were videos intended for, like, telling their loved ones goodbye. Because they were kind of like Scientology. You're encouraged to disconnect with your family.
Yeah.
I guess this is more of like, look, you're going to ask some questions. Here's the explanation.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Okay, we have Logoti and Talodi with us.
Look at their names.
Talodi has something he would like to say.
Logoti and Talodi.
Well, I'd just like to say that I'm about to take an act that probably this world would consider the most awful thing that any person could do. And I can understand their point of view because their life is banked on the physical body and the desires that that physical body has in it. And that's perfectly understandable from their point of view. However, in the 21 years that I have been in this classroom, I have learned to deny this physical body and gain strength of the next level.
Yeah, I mean, just
mind,
looking at these guys,
which is a
they've never been laid.
Different type of matter. Now, what I'm going to do is shed this husk. It's worthless. It's useless to me. Just like a caterpillar in the chrysalis is over with. He's a new creature. There's no point in sitting there going, oh my goodness, that chrysalis is, you know, over there, and I'm, you know, still attached to it. That's ridiculous.
Before he joined, he lived in his mom's basement.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this chrysalis down, and I'm going to emerge into another kingdom level that humans have no knowledge of. And they interpret along religious lines, which is basically misinformation. But the bottom line is that I am doing this of my own free will. I have chosen to do it.
Are you?
It's not something that somebody brainwashed me into or convinced me of.
Funny you say that.
Or did a con job on. Something I have grown to know and to understand. And of my own will, I have chosen to do. And if anybody feels bad about that, that's their problem. It's my choice. Because of the kind of society that we have in this world, and especially in this Western country, you have a problem with, they don't let you do what you want to do with your life. So we're choosing to do this. You'll see this tape after I have put this physical body down. And that's the
way. Yeah. So common theme with all those videos, and I watched a few different ones.
Yeah.
It's an honor for them to have this opportunity to graduate from these bodies and move on to a higher purpose.
Okay.
Basically.
Well, I don't know.
You don't think so?
I just, I don't know. You could just tell they've been fed just rhetoric and the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not that guy's thoughts. It's just not. He's regurgitating what he's been told to believe. Much like, and I'll go ahead and make the comparison to a lot of mainstream Christians who don't take the time to develop their own thought process or theology concerning what they believe in, and they just regurgitate whatever the preacher says, or they regurgitate whatever sounds right to them without questioning or asking, you know, do I believe in this? And opening up their Bible and trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, we've seen it far too often.
You see parallels between this and mainstream Christianity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
38 Heaven's Gate members plus group leader Applewhite were found dead in the home on March 26, 1997. In the heat of the California spring, many of the bodies had begun to decompose by the time they were discovered.
Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah. Blech. The bodies were later cremated. Members took phenobarbital mixed with applesauce and washed it all down with vodka. All
right.
That's a party. Additionally, they secured plastic bags around their heads after ingesting the mix to induce asphyxiation. Authorities found the dead lying neatly in their own bunk beds, faces and torsos covered by a square purple cloth. Each member carried a $5 bill and three quarters in their pockets. The $5 bill was to cover vagrancy fines while members were out on jobs, while the quarters were to make phone calls.
I don't get that, but okay.
Maybe when they make it to the... I don't get that either. They said that, but was that for them?
Right.
Or was it... like, is it when they make it to the next life?
I don't know, man.
Was that, we're going to get fined while we're up there.
Right.
So make sure you've got enough money to cover that, and you're probably going to want to make a phone call. But who are you calling?
You have enough forethought not to get fined for vagrancy after your suicide.
Yep, don't understand that. All 39 were dressed in identical black shirts and sweatpants, brand new black and white Nike Decades.
Yeah.
Yep. And armband patches reading Heaven's Gate Away Team.
The Away Team.
Yep. And have you seen the patches?
Oh, yeah.
Crazy looking.
Crazy looking.
Cool. Not cool.
Not the, cool.
The adherents between the ages of 26 and 72. Wow. Are believed to have died in three groups over 3 days, with remaining participants cleaning up after each prior group's death.
Would you suppose, like, after the first group went, wouldn't you be like, man, I don't know about this?
Yeah. Like, did anyone start to question anything?
And after the second group, were you like, was someone like, yeah.
We should probably go.
About this.
I got a thing. I got to go. Here's the thing happening over in Waco. I got to go check out.
I got a thing.
15 members died on March 24th, 15 more on March 25th, and 9 on March 26th. Leader Applewhite was the third to last member to die.
Especially if I was the last two guys.
Yeah, and he's gone.
I would be like, nope. What? Yeah, where's his checkbook again?
Yeah, for real. If they're forking out that kind of cash.
Right.
Two people remained after him and were the only ones found without bags over their heads.
Well, at least they had enough forethought to say, hey, the bag thing isn't, we're not going with the bags over our head.
Like, let's do something else, something a little less. I don't know.
Oh.
Among the dead was Thomas Nichols, brother of the actress Nichelle Nichols, who is best known for her role as Uhura. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. I didn't watch Star Trek.
Me either.
Don't have a thing against it. I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right. Uhura.
No, but I guarantee the guy in that video.
Yeah.
He watched a lot of Star Trek.
Got to. Especially knowing that this dude was one of them.
Yeah.
Yep, in the original Star Trek series. So here, and in the video that I found on Netflix, on YouTube, of their going away tapes, he's actually videotaped.
He's one of them.
Yep, he's one of them. So here's a small little clip. And if you need a visual, if you don't watch Star Trek, if you remember, there was a iconic scene with Captain Kirk kissing Uhura, and it was the first like interracial kiss that was on TV.
Right.
So her brother. But here he is.
It's hard to express in human language what we know or what we feel.
The birds in the back.
So serene and beautiful. Yeah.
I'm no exception. I'm having a very difficult time. And I'll try to express exactly what I feel. T and Doe were two individuals that were known to or were said to have come from the next level with information for humans on how to get out of this kingdom level into their kingdom level. Overwhelmed was a word that I use to express what went on with my psychic, with my physical body, with everything, just hearing that. It's something that I felt very close to, very dear to, and very important, and it answered a lot of things that I was asking consciously and subconsciously, which were things like, what's next for me? What is life about? What? Why am I here? What is the meaning of life?
There you go.
Yeah, the answer to pretty much all their questions, or all their questions were the same.
Yeah.
What am I here for? What's my purpose? Then you get people like Nettles and Applewhite coming in, Bug Eyes. He's preaching, yeah. Listen, I'm related to Jesus. We share alien spirit. We're graduating from this life to the next. It's going to be great. But you're going to have to kill yourself in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's just seeking purpose.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
And again, it makes me sad.
That it is. It's that really sad.
You have these people searching for something, mm-hmm. grown adults searching for yeah. something. And the answer is there. It's just a matter of someone got to them
yeah.
first or mm-hmm. at the right time. Or
yeah, that's really the sad part about it is at some point in their life, it could have been totally different.
Yeah.
But
you know that they were exposed at some level to Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah. For them to go along with listening yeah. that this guy is related to Jesus.
Right.
Probably grew up maybe in
right
a Christian home or some type of Christian background.
Right.
Or what have you. But yeah. They just happened to get to him before anyone else could.
Right.
Unfortunately. So two former members of Heaven's Gate, Wayne Cook and Charlie Humphreys, later committed suicide in a similar manner. So you don't just have the group of people. It's kind of like whenever Kurt Cobain died.
Yeah.
Cause he didn't kill himself, but people
was
were,
murdered.
Yeah,
right.
He was straight up murdered by Courtney Love.
Right.
You know, you had these copycat suicides right. or these are actual members. It's like, okay, we didn't hop on that board right away, but there's still chance. So Humphrey survived a suicide pact with Cook in May 1997, but ultimately killed himself in February 1998. The original 39 deaths also motivated the April 1997 suicide of a 58-year-old California man who left a note saying he hoped to join the dead Heaven's Gate members. Two surviving members still maintain the group's website. Do you have that pulled up by any chance?
I can.
Okay. So two surviving members still maintain the group's website, although it has not been altered since the suicide. So why do they even maintain it?
Right.
You know, if they're not going to change anything from it. But okay. The two do not identify themselves in interviews.
Yeah. Yeah, so the website, you pull it up, and like you said, it hasn't been altered since these suicides.
And it looks like something straight out of 1997.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. Interesting enough, on the bottom of mm-hmm. it, there's several links, and I'll just read off some of these links here. Statement by an ET presently incarnate. So you can read that. The overview of their present mission. Our position against suicide.
So it's not... I guess they just didn't believe that it was suicide.
Right.
It was just graduation.
Yeah, so... on their position against suicide, it starts off, we know that it is only while we are in these physical vehicles that we can learn the lessons needed to complete our individual transition as we know to complete our task of offering the kingdom of heaven to this civilization one last time. So it's not suicide to them. They're just transitioning.
Yeah.
For a lack of better words. But you can get, see transcripts of the videos on there, links to the videos themselves.
And I think all those are on YouTube now.
Right.
But it is very eerie to just go to their website.
Yeah. And this thing was around for 22 years. They call it a class or, you know, classroom instruction. So they never really call it a religion. It's more of a class, more of a, we're educating you. And then you get to graduate. They have a graduation from the human form to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
It is very strange, very sad.
It's weird to be on this website.
I know. To be honest, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. And then, I mean, requests for materials can be emailed to, and then have the email for. Oh, man. So I wonder if you email it, what happens? Mm. Or sent via postal service, and it has an address here in Phoenix, Arizona. So, there's German translations of these things. Maybe there were some Germans.
I don't think there was any other groups like globally.
No,
were there?
It didn't say anything that they were a global anything.
Hmm.
I do notice that there's no, like, pictures. No. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, them eating together or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hanging out or whatever.
I would feel like if I was even questioning that, I would want to see some pictures.
Right.
That could have been essential.
I mean,
I could look at them and be like, oh, these guys are weird.
Maybe that's why they didn't.
Yeah.
Planet Earth. About to be recycled. Yeah, so just strange. You can go look it up, heavensgate.com.
Yeah. Simple enough.
Just weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, there you have it. Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate. Very
sad.
Very sad. I'm bummed now. Because there's no... You know, with David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, yeah, they were a bunch of Looney Tunes, but it wasn't a mass suicide with them.
No.
You know, and that was very sad.
Yeah.
This is just a group of people that were just so unstable and were willing to listen to anything that would give them some type of purpose. And unfortunately, that was, you're going to have to commit suicide.
It's just, again, it just goes back to, you know, that list of people I told you.
Mm-hmm.
I could give you a list of people who I could see buying into something like this.
Yeah.
Makes me want to reach out to them and just ensure that they know God.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, looking at the cult definition, see if we can check off some stuff here. A system of religious veneration. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And devotion directed toward a particular figure or object.
Check.
Yep. A relatively small group of people having religiously... I've got to change that. Having religious beliefs or practices regarded by others as strange or sinister.
It's been a typo.
Every week we went to go do it, and I do it every... single time, and I have not made that correction.
And you're a good speller.
I am.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Yeah, check.
But yeah, sinister. Very sinister. A misplaced or excessive admiration for a particular person or thing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hail Bop.
Peep. Hail Bop. Boom Peep.
Weird.
Let's keep it about.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate.
Part 5.
One more. We're going to do one more.
Just one more.
One more.
And just one more.
We'll hit Jonestown.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
There's some conspiracy.
Yeah, that's another one. We'll get into
some fact.
Yeah, now it's fact. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll get into some of that stuff.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah. A little congratulations to Anne and Andrew, our very, very, very good friends, our brothers and brother and sister. Mm-hmm. They had a baby.
They sure did. Full head of hair.
Yeah.
So all the heartburn was worth it.
I don't know what that means.
That's
but
what she said. She was like,
"You can't trust anything."
She was like, "I'm having so much heartburn. If this kid doesn't come out with a head full of hair, I'm going to be mad." That was her exact words.
Okay.
I heard that the other day.
Well,
and look at it.
Yep.
Baby's got a ton of hair.
Ton of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So congrats, guys.
Congrats. When Andrew first sent the text out or the message, it said 10 pounds, 8 ounces.
Yeah.
I'm glad that was not the case. 8 pounds, 10 ounces.
Yeah.
Little Asher Rowe.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's here with us now. Yeah.
Asher Rowe Johansson.
Yo, it's not Johnson.
No. Johansson.
Johansson.
Johansson. Yep. So congratulations, guys. Love you. Can't wait for little Asher to be corrupted by Uncle Blake and Uncle Bri.
I'm going to get Asher a teddy bear. Mm-hmm. You know how they have the bears like Alec had with the sounds of the womb?
Yeah.
It's just us.
It's the intro.
Yeah. Yep, over and over again.
Yeah, that'd be good.
So we can corrupt his little mind at such a young age.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. what you got for music?
Oh, I always forget what I tell you. The Revivalists.
Oh yeah.
Wish I knew you.
There's some Need to Breathe influence there.
There is
that I like.
There is. It's very good. What caught my ear listening to it was they say Holy Spirit in it, and I was like, whoa,
wait
a minute, what is that? Let me rewind this
here. Yeah,
listen to it again, and I started listening to it. It's pretty good.
All right, well, here it is. Wish I Knew You.
Just very groovy.
Yeah, I like the horn section. Do you know if that's is that every song?
Huh? What?
Is that every song? Do they have like an actual horn section that plays with them?
No.
No? So it's just for the song?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I can get behind that.
Synthesized.
Oh, okay. So it's not an actual like mariachi band playing in the back. Okay. No. Well, that would have been good too. All right. Well, me...
What are you listening to?
As for Blake in his house,
we will serve tacos.
We will serve tacos. I'm going with another Emery song. Had them on my Pandora a decent bit. And this one, if you remember on Bad Christian's old episodes, at the very end, they had like a kind of like the 8-bit remixes of their songs.
Right.
It was this song playing at the very end of
Okay.
it. So this song is called Butcher's Mouth by Emery.
So good, man. Yeah.
Don't you love the keys in
yes,
that? Thrown in
yes.
There? So that guy, his name is Josh, that plays in Emery. whenever me and Allie went to go see them live, he's dancing, like dancing, man. I mean, getting down to these songs, but like playing his synth parts and his keys and stuff. And he also does like the secondary screaming in there.
Okay.
So, and I mean, more than just dancing, he's like hip hop.
Oh, okay.
Like getting like locking and popping and stuff like that. Like while the rest of them's like headbanging, he's like getting down, man. It was so interesting.
Let me play my patch.
Yeah. So. And then I found the full 8-bit version of that song, too.
Uh-huh.
And it's so great.
It's good.
Yeah. So,
yeah. I like it.
All right. Well, I have a fun little message for you. As played in the intro for this episode, Michael Pulsar.
Michael.
Yep. He's got a podcast called Personal Upgrade. It's okay. Very good.
Check it out.
Very encouraging and uplifting. Kind of just... kind of the ins and outs of how you should live your life.
Basically. Okay.
Not too long. You know, and he's Australian, so that's fun.
He comes from a land down under.
Yep. I come from a land. I should have had it ready.
I wonder if he has heard. Never mind.
That song?
Men
at Work is to Australia what Toto is.
That's what I was going
to. Africa.
That's what I was going to. That's where I was going. I wonder. Yeah, that's where I was
somewhere
going.
In Australia.
Yes.
Men at Work is just playing on repeat for the rest of eternity.
I wonder if he's... Yeah, okay.
He's got to reach out to us.
I'm sorry. About that. Sometimes I just need to keep my thoughts.
No, don't. I want to know. But here's what Michael said. He said, I listened to some of your podcasts, and I was impressed. The quality was good. The content was unique and interesting, and it had a relaxed format that I really liked. Gave it 5 stars and a positive rating on Australia iTunes. So keep up the good work.
Global.
Yep. We just made it global. We're all there is someone all the way across the world listening to the Not Religious podcast right now.
And then his subscribers are going to subscribe and listen.
Bam.
Boom.
Look at that.
Boom. Yeah.
So thank you, Michael. And again, go check out his podcast, Personal Upgrade. It's fantastic.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well, Brian, next week.
Next week.
Jonestown. I'm going to start my research immediately. I'm going to do my research on the full actual, the story that was covered.
The official story.
The official story. And then.
And then we'll go
what actually happened.
Yeah.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. It's going to be awesome. So one more part of our cult series. Then we'll be done with that. For the time being, at least, until more cults pop up.
Boom. So. Oh, there's more out there.
Plenty of them. All. Yeah. So if you can find us on all the Podcore. Man, Podcore. We got it now. Yeah, all the podcast platforms that are available. Leave us reviews. Send us some stars. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And we'll catch you guys next week.
Be nice to one another.
Goodbye. Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady. She made me nervous.